FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to, perhaps even watching, the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is the last day of November 2020. Thank goodness this month will soon be over. It's 11/30/2020. We still don't know who won the election, or we know who they're telling us won it, but we don't really know, do we? And I guess we're going to find out at some point, but you have your opinions. We have ours. What is Dr. Copper telling us? Copper going up, up and away. What do you think it's saying? Is it signaling a round of commodity price inflation or perhaps economic expansion? There's a reason it's called Dr. Copper. So let us know your opinion. Email us at KL@KerryLutz.com. Right now, John Rubino is with us. John, hey, I'm looking at this chart, the copper exposure, the surge that's taken place in copper. It's pretty breathtaking the way it's gone up since March, isn't it?
Hey, Carrie. Yeah, you wouldn't expect industrial materials to be up, right? In this kind of a world where not that much is being built anymore. But you look at the copper chart and it's shocking. It's just almost vertical towards the last few weeks now. It's really spiking. And it's not alone. A lot of other industrial metals and materials are up, and agricultural commodities are up. And, add that to the other stuff that's been going up for a long time, stocks, bonds, houses. And it kind of makes you wonder how much stuff has to be going up dramatically before we start thinking of ourselves in an inflationary environment. Because, we're still thinking that there's no inflation out there, and central banks are saying, oh, we'll have 1% next year, 1.5%. And the Social Security cost of living increase was like 1.3%. And yet you're seeing all these things spike kind of all at once across the economy. So I don't know, maybe all the easy money that we've been pumping out, the massive amounts of easy money that we've been pumping out, at least for the last year and for the decades prior, are starting to have an impact. And you got to wonder what the markets will be like if people start to think, oh, yeah, now we're in an inflationary environment and we should expect prices to go up at an accelerating rate, because that's the mindset that takes hold. Once people feel the impact of inflation in their own lives and extrapolate that into the indefinite future, and then you get kind of a runaway effect in the currency markets. So, it's not there yet, but an awful lot of stuff is going up dramatically. So you got to wonder how many more things can go up before people start to notice.
Yeah. I mean, well, you and I have felt for quite some time that this latest round of stimulus, the PPP and the small business loans, all these things, and the bailouts for everybody online, regardless of your company, big, small, medium, we felt for a while that this was going to cause commodity price inflation. And we've seen copper go from, mid $2 per pound to almost $3.50 a pound. Now, copper is unique. They call it Dr. Copper because so goes copper, so goes the economy. But when you look at it, you see like usage, commercial usage, not that much up. Production is down because the price has been too low for many years, shut down marginal mines. But then you look at it and you say, this could very well be the beginning of the inflationary price spike in commodities and across the board in consumer items as well.
Well, commodity prices, when they go up, they filter through to consumer products, right? Because if the thing that is in the thing you're buying gets more expensive, the thing you're buying has to go up. So that's normally how it works. And we'll see if it works this time. So much of what used to work doesn't work anymore. So this might just be one more thing. But I think it's definitely something we should be watching, because by the time everybody concludes that inflation is back, it's kind of too late for a lot of the trades that you might try to take advantage of it. So you know, precious metals, obviously, because that's what people jump into when they're afraid that prices are going to start accelerating. And then there's still time to get into at least silver cheaply and gold reasonably cheaply. And, you know, they've been getting whacked lately, which is interesting, too, because we're heading into the seasonally strong time, although that might not matter this year. And, you know, the governments of the world are still creating immense amounts of currency to lean against the pandemic. So I think in the U.S., so if we're looking at the dollar price of gold and silver, one thing to remember here is that we've got divided government for another few months. So we've got a really uncertain political future, which means we don't get a big stimulus plan anytime soon. And the financial markets have tended to react really badly to the idea that that maybe monetary ease is going to stop, or maybe you know, the deficits are not going to be as high as they have been, and things like that. And the stock market tanks, and that forces the government to cave and start easing again. And stocks are way down today. So maybe we're starting another round in that process. And this, you know, this feels an awful lot like back in March when we had that flash crash in the financial markets, at least today does. So we'll see if that continues. And, you know, there's every reason to think that it will continue, because towards the end of this year, an awful lot of benefits that people have gotten or gotten extended due to the pandemic, those things are running out. So unless we fix those things, a lot of people are going to have a lot less money, and we're going to see people, you know, not be able to make their rent and get thrown out of their houses, or stop spending money and start digging into savings again, stuff like that. And that tends to slow the economy down, which would make corporate profits even weaker, which in theory would make stocks less attractive. So you're seeing the stock market react to that possibility today, and we'll see if that continues.
Okay, so. Also, economy is slowing as more and more people have got to dig into your savings because stuff, you're not working. They've shut down your business yet again on very specious grounds, very questionable grounds of whether lockdowns work at all or not. The evidence seems to show not. And then we also, John, had that Johns Hopkins study where an economist looked at all the deaths and said, we haven't seen any increase or an increase in excess deaths from 2018 to 2020. But what we did see is that certain deaths went down in incidence, like heart disease, stroke, diabetes, something that has never happened before. The number of deaths for those diseases, the leading causes of morbidity, have only increased over the years. And yet somehow 2020 is a magical year, and all of a sudden less people dying of heart attacks, strokes, and diabetes. What was your take on that?
Well, I think a morbidly obese diabetic gets COVID and then dies, and they count it as a COVID death, even though that guy was going to die sooner or later from all the other stuff he had going on. And, you know, they're spreading that across the entire economy. And so that's what's happening. The death rates from some things are going down, while the COVID death rate is taking up the slack, which means that, yeah, there's some statistical games being played, probably. And in any event, if the, you know, the death rate is no different this year from last year, the number of people dying per 100,000 people or whatever, how do we justify shutting down the economy over it? Very possible that we're going to look back on this and think, oh my God, you know, we didn't really need to do any of that. And look what happened. So, and you know, there's a political side to this too. For some reason, a lot of people seem to have a vested interest in reporting really high COVID death rates. And, you know, maybe that will be made clear at some point in the future. But other than as a rationale for the Great Reset, you know, to soften us up in anticipation of some kind of authoritarian thing that happens in the future, I don't really understand why this is happening.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. We've never had a pandemic before where they quarantined the healthy to stop it from spreading. And there's a guy who is the head of Pfizer's immunological research division who said that COVID's been over for months and that there's 70 to 80% herd immunity and that really we're going through a bunch of nothing, and that the vaccines, which are hugely or will be hugely profitable to Moderna, to all of the to Pfizer, you know, it's really a bunch of nothing, and they shouldn't be taken. And this is the guy who's the head of Pfizer's research division, former head. He might just know something about this.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by GR Silver Mining. Ticker symbol TSX, GRSL, OTC, GRSLF, and their website at grsilvermining.com. The company is extremely well capitalized, currently has a resource of 40 million ounces of silver, and is looking to triple that number in just the next year alone. Its management team is first rate, headed up by Marcio Fonseca, a geologist with vast experience in mining operations and the financial sector as well. With all this going for it, and with silver trading over $25 the ounce, there's no telling how high GR Silver Mining will go. So go to grsilvermining.com to stay up to date on the latest developments and get on their notification list today.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, that could be the other reason that this is happening, is that they saw it as a way to funnel hundreds of billions of dollars into some big political donors, the pharmaceutical companies. And now that quote unquote successful vaccines are coming to market, it's completely possible that all this angst will just go away, you know, and we'll just give $500 billion to the big pharma companies, and we'll insist that everybody take the vaccines. And, you know, all these conspiracy theories, Kerry, are starting to seem reasonable now. You know, normally you want to take this stuff with a grain of salt, but there's no real explanation that makes sense other than something nefarious out there. You know, somebody is pulling something on us. And you can point to a lot of different, you know, follow the money. You point to a lot of different people who are really making out in all of this. And, you know, another aspect of this is that the effect of these lockdowns is to wipe out small businesses across the country while enriching big companies like Walmart and Amazon and Netflix and Google and Facebook. You know, those guys are really making out during these lockdowns while a lot of their potential competition is being just ground to dust, you know, and that's another possible explanation for all this. And, you know, maybe it's all of them together. Who knows? I don't really know, and I just don't understand.
Yeah, the deep state and one world government, global cryptocurrency, getting rid of the dollar as the reserve currency. All of these things appear plausible. And then when you look at what projected winner Biden, what his administration is looking like, it's swamp business as usual.
Yeah, you know, this is shocking to see the people that Biden is trying to bring in. You know, none of this is certain yet, but the people he's hiring are basically pulled right out of the Clinton and Obama administrations, which means business as usual, which means the Democrats didn't learn a single thing from half the country voting populist in the last two elections. So I think that there's a really good chance that the midterm elections, which are normally bad for the incumbent president's party, right? Usually you lose seats in the House and Senate in the midterms. And, you know, the Democrats are already the minority in the Senate, probably after the Georgia elections. And they lost a lot of seats in the House in this last election, so they don't have nearly the majority that they did. So these midterms have got to be, if they're paying attention, if they understand their situation, they've got to be kind of terrified of these midterm elections, because the last thing you want as a political party is to have the presidency, but neither House of Congress. And that happens once in a while, and it guarantees a divided government that gets nothing done. You get gridlock then. So it's completely possible that that's what they're looking at for having not learned the lesson that they needed to address, you know, some of these issues that that were not addressed by the Clinton and the Obama administrations. You know, they're just going to do the same thing those guys did, you know, free trade, relatively open borders, and money funneled into corporations, and, you know, probably no real antitrust enforcement or anything. So this is, you know, this is a missed opportunity for the Democrats at a minimum. and a sure sign, I think, that they just are completely clueless about their situation. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to the midterm elections already. They're going to be so dramatic.
You know, almost all Republicans believe that the Dems stole the election, and 25% of the Democrats believe it, probably a half or two thirds of the independents. That kind of undercuts Biden's mandate, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's probably the big motivation in what Trump's doing with the lawsuits right now, you know, because it's highly unlikely that he can win all of the states that he needed to win to win in the Electoral College. But he's laying the groundwork for an argument in the future, which is that the Democrats stole this election. So, you know, you combine that with business as usual, and that's a really powerful platform. You know, they're back to letting everybody in from Mexico, and they're back to sending your jobs to China, and they shouldn't even be doing it. They shouldn't have a chance to do it because they stole the election. You know, that's something you can run on next time around. So it's possible that Trump, you know, I don't want to attribute a lot of foresight to Trump, but it's possible he's laying the groundwork for his next run at the presidency, or setting the stage for a kinder, gentler version of Trump to come along with populist ideas and be very popular. So, you know, we'll see. But there's a lot of machinations out there right now between the Democrats with these voting machines that clearly look like they did something that, you know, was not kosher, and the Republicans laying the groundwork for a run next time around in which they flat out accuse the Democrats of stealing. So in other words, we're still a divided country. And just because we avoided a civil war with this election doesn't mean we've actually avoided the concept, you know, going forward. We can still have civil unrest on a vast scale just because everybody's so mad at each other. And they have no problem with the idea of violence directed against people who disagree with them now. So this is not over.
Great point. And hey, if Trump actually did win, I have my opinions about it, but certainly something happened there. Some hanky-panky, some manipulation. Just those four states all of a sudden went to sleep. Trump was so far ahead that he couldn't catch him. We woke up and Biden was ahead. It's just, we've never seen anything like that. Four cities or five cities, Biden underperformed Obama and Hillary in every metropolitan area in the country, except in those five cities he needed to win. Milwaukee, we're talking Detroit, we're talking Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and I don't remember even the other. It doesn't really matter, but it was very peculiar to even the most untrained eye. And then when you look at the statistics where 100,000 plus Biden votes come in with a couple hundred Trump votes, it's just impossible from a statistical standpoint. It's going to wind up in the Supreme Court. They're basically going to pick the next president. Do they have the balls to actually invalidate an election and send it to the House? Because that's what we're talking about here. If they, all they have to do is invalidate pretty much Pennsylvania and Detroit, right? If they invalidate Pennsylvania and Michigan or Wisconsin or Arizona, basically the election's over because it goes to the House, because no one will be able to get 270 electoral votes. And so it's all going to come down to the Supreme Court. Do they want to take the hit for effectively choosing the next president? They did it in 2000, rightly or wrongly. The more I look at it, it was probably wrongly, but they did do it. And hey, but what about, John, to the bar owner in New York City who won't close? He refuses to close because he's going to go broke. And then they strip his liquor license away from him. So he declared that he's now in an autonomous zone, like in Seattle or Portland, huh? That was pretty clever. He's protesting. Mostly
that is clever. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more of that stuff. You know, that's the thing, when you set a precedent with something like the autonomous zone in Seattle, you got to assume that people are going to call you on it one way or another, right? Because once you say that that's okay, then lots of other people are going to say, well, I want that now too, you know? And so this guy, this restaurant bar owner with a sense of humor in New York, is having some fun with it, at least so far. You know, you never know what the government in a place like that is going to do. when somebody stands up to them so blatantly. It wouldn't be a surprise to see that place burn down or that guy have an accident or something, because he's dealing with serious people.
You know what? Just remember, in Florida, Ilian Gonzalez, where the Cuban community said, we're not allowing you to send him back to Cuba. And the government said, no, he's going back. This happened to have been during Clinton. And the next thing you know, there are people pointing machine guns at all these people in Little Havana in Florida. And Ilian's on the way on an airplane back to Cuba, where he resides to this day. That is abuse of government power at its worst. We've barely seen the beginning of it, John. I mean, we've seen them just make edicts and fiats, and we've seen governors become petty dictators where their word is the law. And you see it with Killer Cuomo. You see it with Murphy the Murderer in New Jersey. You see it with Eva Braun Whitmer in Michigan. And, and this is a wacky wolf guy in Pennsylvania. So they just rule from the hat. You know, I never understood the term of what a ruler was. What does a ruler do? They rule. And how do they rule? They rule through rules. They make rules for everybody to follow. And that's what we've become. We've become a country governed by rulers, not by law. And it's their whim. If they think, John, if they think that polka dotted masks with pictures of the naked angels on them, if they think that's going to cure COVID, you're going to be wearing them, because you're not going to have a choice, because they are the rulers. And that's where we're at now. Anyways, I'll let you go now. You got to go over, take a look at John's site. It's temporarily been hacked, but it is dollarcollapse.com. They've descended upon John, picked him out of nowhere, and he must have done something that the rulers didn't like. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's just random hackers from China who don't like the fact that you think that their system might be flawed in some way. Who the heck knows who got you, John? But it should be up shortly. That's why we have these rapid response teams. Take a look at our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. John, we'll catch you next week. Be well.
Take care. You too. See ya.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.